Hello, people. It is Sunday. Holy shit. Sunday. And that can only mean two things, can't it? It can mean religion or the Ben Briggs podcast. And holy fucking shit, we've got no religion here, baby. It is podcasting all the way. Here we go. Different start. I'll tell you why there's a different start, because I'm sick and tired of fucking starting every episode saying, welcome to episode whatever. Who gives a fuck what episode it is? Nobody cares about that. Everybody just cares about the date, I suppose. I have no idea. Anyway, it is Sunday the 16th of October, 2023. And it's cold outside, baby. Holy fucking shit. The winter has finally come upon us, with no innuendo there whatsoever. It's shockingly shit outside. I'm freezing. I know it's not freezing outside, people. I know it gets colder. I hate people when it gets cold who still wear shorts, by the way. Like, they're proving a fucking point about how hard they are. You know it's fucking cold. You've got blood vessels. You've got skin the same as me. You know it's cold outside. I resent those people. Like, they try and make a point of still wearing shorts. Just wear long trousers, yeah? Nobody wants to see your legs in October. Nobody even wants to see them in the summer. It's usually an old man, isn't it? Old man trying to stay up with the young bucks, isn't it? You never see, like, a young lad walking around in shorts in winter time. There's always some old dude who's still trying to prove a point. I don't know, people. Anyway, let's have a little bit of coffee to start us off. We're on coffee today, people. I need that added boost of energy, although it doesn't ever seem to give me it, I must admit. I don't know how people are all of a sudden, like, sparked up and become more awake when they have coffee. For me, it seems to have no effect whatsoever. It's probably because I drink too much tea, too much coffee, too much caffeine in my system already, people. There you go. Anyway, let's not start hating on old people. Holy fucking shit, I'm 46, so let's calm down a little bit, shall we? It's been a fun week, hasn't it? It's been a fun week for me. I've done a few gigs. I had to cancel one last night due to car issues. But let's leave that behind, and try and function properly on the Sabbath, shall we? It's been a weird sort of like week, hasn't it? Like, the whole Israel-Palestine thing kicking off, baby, isn't it? Round two, or round whatever it is of all that shit. It's difficult. It's a weird thing to see, because you see, like, people. I've got Jewish friends, obviously. Look, it's not a massive. I know people are going to say, yeah, there's anti-Semitism and stuff like that in the UK, but, you know, somebody I've known for like 15 years was Jewish. And I didn't realise this until about 7 years into knowing him. It's not a massive, I don't know, I suppose if you live in big cities and that sort of thing, London, it can be more prevalent. I wasn't aware that he was Jewish, even though he looks the most Jewish person who's ever existed. And his surname is very Jewish as well. But I had no idea until he mentioned it on stage one night, and then everything seemed to click together. It's difficult, isn't it? Because this is never, I don't care what anybody says, right? This is a situation that seems to never, ever be resolved. It's never going to go away, is it? It's under the pretext of religion, but there's more involved than that in there. And I know, about the situation in Northern Ireland, that they managed to get through it, or at least live in peace for a long time now. with the odd flare up or whatever. But yeah, I have nothing. This is how I work, right? I think about these things, and then I think of every angle possible that I can come at it with, to try and think up a resolution myself, as if people are going to listen to me, as if anybody's like from Israel and Palestine are going to be listening to this podcast and go, hang on a minute, this guy's got something. This guy on a podcast in Northampton on a Sunday, the day of religion itself, has come up with a fucking solution and we're taking it on board. But yeah, it's kind of like, I know people Jew bash, so to speak. But it is kind of the same as kind of like people in the UK being held up and held to account for what the UK government does. So obviously, you know, they're a little bit heavy-handed, shall we say, in Israel. Would you say that? I don't know. You know, they've suffered a lot in the past, so I imagine they're a little bit touchy about shit, you know, people attacking them and stuff. But yeah, it just seems awful out there at the moment, what's going on. And it seems to have relegated, I bet the Ukraine are a little bit pissed off by it all, because it seems to have relegated them into second place of the wars going on in the world so far. There's possibly more world wars going on in the world, but they're the main two, aren't they? You know, we're talking from Western knowledge of anything that's going on at the moment. We like to pick and choose our wars that we sort of like get involved in, and particularly in this country, don't we? We're like, wars in Africa, fuck that shit. Have we got any investment whatsoever in those countries? No. Do they have any raw materials that we need? No. Well, not interested. Middle Eastern wars, fuck yes, we are bang on that shit. Are they still got shitloads of oil over there? Yeah? Okay. Let's send in the fucking troops. Get them mowed down. We need to keep that constant flow of oil going. That's kind of it, isn't it? That's like, that seems to be UK government policy. In a fucking nutshell. Have they got anything that we can benefit from? No? Fuck them. Yes? Send in the troops, baby. Let those young lads lay down their lives so we can pay higher oil prices over here. I don't know, man. Is that too cynical? I don't know. Is that too cynical? Do I need another cup of coffee? Let's have a little bit. There we go. Tastes like shit. yeah, so that's been going on. As we're drawing into winter here as well, I tell you what, the one thing I have realised is, right, I know I've said this in a podcast before, that I enjoy the seasons in this country. However, I think I only say that in the summer. I think I have a misty-eyed, rose-tinted idea of what winter is. I think morning freshness, you know, frost on the on the grass, sun shining, but it's still a bit chilly in the air. The day's still got hope. However, I went out to put the bins out last night. I know the recycling that I do here. Yeah, I'm trying to save the planet. People are fighting over land. And here I am recycling, saving the planet as I comment on this. I don't know how much of an effect that has, really. Does it? I don't know. Recycling, but I do it anyway, right? I do it anyway. I took out the recycling last night. I was in shorts and a t-shirt. It was quite warm in the old flat, right? I got outside. It was fucking freezing. That was a hello to winter for me. We all get it every year, especially in this country where it's been nice, like the last week, 2 weeks, something like that, right? It's been beautiful weather. It's been warm. It's been sunny. It's everything you need from weather, Warm, sunny, a little bit crisp in the morning, beautiful day. That's what you need. Now, when I went out there, I'm not going to lie to you, it's fucking cold. And I know it's only going to get colder. That's the worst thing about it. It's October. This is the start of it all. This is the start of winter. I know it's not. I know it's like fucking fool, or, you know, if you want to say that, if you want to become Americanized and say fool. Autumn. Out there, my colonial cousins, it's fucking autumn, isn't it? But yeah, it was a bit of a rude awakening. And I think I do get a bit misty-eyed about winter sometimes, and could quite happily move out to somewhere warm and just stay there every day. Just warm, warm, warm. Wake up, sun shining, not a cloud in the sky, blue sky, boom, warm. I'm with that right now. Yeah, these people who move out to Spain, you know, set up their little home from home, England from England, you know, must have a full cooked breakfast, full English, please. People who do that in those communities, expat communities, I fully am on board with that, especially the older I get. Fucking joints stiffen up in the winter, don't they? You don't realise this, you kids out there. Right, you don't realise how much you go through as an older person. Just getting out of bed in the morning. It's like I can go to sleep, and I sleep for a full 8 hours. Not a lot, not often. I mean, often, like, you know, I'm a single guy, lives on his own. I'm on the sofa. That's where you sleep, isn't it? You know your place as a single man. You'll watch TV until you can't watch it anymore. Put the TV on standby and think, fuck it, I cannot be asked to make my way to bed right now. I cannot be asked to walk, 40 paces to bed. So I'm just going to lay on the sofa, have a shit night's sleep, rather than walk that 40 yards to the bedroom. Wake up feeling like shit. Wake up halfway through the night needing a fucking piss. That's what you do, isn't it? Nobody tells you that about getting older, do they? When you're a little kid. Oh, you want to be grown up? Yeah, don't grow up too quick. Why is that? Nobody says that, do they? Don't grow up too quick. Why is that? Why is that, Daddy? Because you're going to be fucking pissing in the middle of the night, trying not to get too awake. But you need to be alert enough to be able to aim your stream of piss into the toilet bowl. That's it. That's a balancing act, isn't it? That's one hell of a balancing act. Not getting too awake that you can't sleep again, but just being awake enough. And we've all, you know, we've all gone on the bad side of that. Isn't it? That's not what you want. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're mopping up the bathroom floor because you didn't open your other eye and you had no sense of perspective and where you're pissing. We've all been there. We've all been there. I should sit down, really, shouldn't I? Why don't I just sit down, Ben? Because it feels less manly. And even at 2 o'clock in the morning, I still want to feel like a man. Yeah? None of this sit down piss shit for me. No. Anyway, we're going slight off track. Let's have some more coffee. It's fucking miserable getting old. It is. Joints. Old injuries from football and shit come back to haunt you, don't they? Fucking ankle stiff. Now it's getting cold. The old peg leg, left ankle, the old club foot is... not that it's a disability now. I had it fixed. God liked me. God liked me. He gave me a disability and then he liked me. So he took it away via an operation. But I tell you what, in the winter, it fucking stiffens up like anything. Isn't it? The old left ankle stiff, the old right knee. You know, it's getting to that stage, isn't it? Hands start hurting. Oh, God. So much to look forward to. Can't wait. Bring it on. That's what I say. Bring it the fuck on. Ah, dear. Anyway, What have you been up to this week, Ben? Well, I'll fucking tell you. Jesus Christ. Old nosy knows a lot there. I'll tell you what I did watch this week, and it is, I thought it was particularly, before I get into this, I thought it was particularly well handled. Now, I watched the Jimmy Savile program with Steve Coogan as Jimmy Savile in it. What I will explain to foreign listeners, Jimmy Savile was a radio DJ / TV presenter who apparently did loads, well, not apparently, he did loads for charity, but he was also a fucking weirdo sex offender. So he died without any, the program's called The Reckoning. And you can see that, you can see why they've named it that, because it is a reckoning for him after he died and all his crimes. He was never sort of like, there was, it was always that thing where there was rumours about him, but nobody did anything. Wasn't it? Nobody said anything, nobody did anything. If anything was like brought up or accusations, they were quickly quashed. And oddly enough, it's a BBC programme. It stars Steve Coogan as Jimmy Savile, which, to be fair, takes a bit of balls to take on that role, because you're putting yourself out there for a lot of backlash. But I think the way they've handled it, they sort of like interview people who he assaulted and that before each episode, like the real people. So it gives you a sort of like context to the horrendous shit that he did. And they obviously get to say what happened to them and the things that he did. It's really, it's a difficult thing to say because, like, Steve Coogan is fucking amazing in it. Absolutely amazing. As Jimmy Savile, his mannerisms, the way he walks, the way he talks, because he had a very distinctive voice, and everything is fucking spot on. It's just the horrendous, how creepy and aggressive he was. It really gets that across. I don't know. Let's have a little bit more coffee out. I don't know I don't know what sort of like effect it's going to have, but it really does bring to the forefront how much he was kind of protected and kind of just allowed to do what he wanted to do. Because he had contacts in power and things like that, and he was well known. It just brings out that sort of like the cult of celebrity and how much credence people put on being a celebrity and what they can get away with. And, you know, it's almost like the stage like where celebrity has met sort of like royalty, and there's like a crossover with that. It's that sort of like elevated sense of esteem that they have and that people hold them in, and are just like in awe of celebrities. And it just shows that, like, the dark side. The complete dark side of celebrity, and what effects that has on everyday people. It's just I thought it was fucking fascinating to watch. I thought it was really sad, really disturbing, and Steve Coogan just plays that off, and really, really, you know, shows what a fucking horrible person he was. I don't know. It's a difficult thing to say that you enjoyed it, isn't it? Something like that. because it's so, I don't know, there is a sort of like fascination with watching that and finding out about how bad he was. And it was just, he was just like relentlessly bad. And then sort of like did charity work, because he was like a Catholic, did charity work to try and sort of like balance the scales. So he raised a lot of money for certain hospitals. He raised a lot of money for research and a lot of things. And it seems like he was doing that to try and balance the scales with the awful things that he did. It's just heartbreaking for the people that had to go through that. And it's, you know, he died before he was able to able to stand trial or anything like that. And it's just, I don't know. Maybe this is, you know, but you leave a legacy of being a fucking cunt, don't you? You know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I watched that. This is how fucking weird my week's been. I watched that. There's about 4 episodes on BBC iPlayer. It's well worth watching. And then I watched the fucking, I don't know, on Netflix there's a series called Maxine, which is about Maxine Carr, who was the girlfriend of Ian Huntley, who killed like 2 girls in Cambridgeshire. And I remember when that happened. That was like 90s, I think. And I remember when that happened, and there was a search room and stuff like that, and it turned out he was the caretaker, and it was of the school that they went to, and he'd done it while she was away. And I think he's in prison. She went to prison. Even though she was away, she sort of like lied and gave him an alibi. And it sort of like takes you all the way through that as well. So I've had a weird watching experience, let's say that, for those two things, because obviously I'm aware of both of those people, Jimmy Savile and Maxine Carr. She did time in prison for it, only about like 3 or 4 years, I think she did, something like that. But it shows like how much she was kind of controlled, but how much she kind of liked the media attention of being around that as well. And it was like really weird. And what the weird thing must be now that I took from that, she got released and now she's like married with a kid. I think there's only like 4 people in the UK who are under anonymity for the whole of their lives. So they've been relocated. She's one of them. They've been given a false name, false identity, all of that sort of thing. So she's one of them. The 2 guys who killed James Bulger are the 2 more. And a girl called Mary Bell, who I think when she was about 10 years old, she like killed 2 kids or something like that. It's fucking horrendous. That was in the 60s. So it's like those 4 people who have got lifetime anonymity. It must be weird because at some point, like you start a new life, you've been given a new name, you've done something horrendous like that. Obviously that Maxine Carr didn't kill anybody, but it's, you know, if people found out who she was, because she was like so tied in with somebody who did something horrendous, she lied, she gave him an alibi. There must be a point where you can't, I know they give you a new life, they give you a new name and that sort of thing, but you can't move on past that. You know what I mean? You'd always be looking over your shoulder thinking, you know, somebody's going to recognize me. Somebody's going to, you know, put 2 and 2 together. The fact I've got no fucking, you know, friends or family around here. Yeah, it must be really odd. And then it must get to the point where, like, if you're in a relationship, she's like married with a kid or something like that. That's got to be a tough sell, isn't it? Who's your ex? Ian Huntley. Oh, fuck. Jesus. Fuck me. I'm okay, thanks, baby. I'm gonna get back on Tinder, I think. Yeah, it's a bit... let's have some coffee. It's just a bit you know, at some point you've got to say to them, haven't you? Like, actually, this isn't the real me. The real me is this person. And then you're like, holy fucking shit. What do you do with that information? You know, well, don't marry them and bang them, I imagine. Somebody did, though. Hey, that goes to show, doesn't it? Just goes to show. I think this is my philosophy with, I think it's a lot easier for women to get married and have kids after that than a guy. If a guy, if the shoe was on the other foot and it was a guy who was dating somebody who did, a woman who did horrific murders, I don't think any woman would touch that guy with a barge pole. But it just goes to show how much guys are desperate to get laid. that they are more than willing to take on somebody with that sort of baggage. I mean, like, I've dated women with baggage, you know, literally physical baggage and fucking mental baggage. Not, and I'm not saying I haven't got any. let's get that out there. Yeah? Let's just clarify that. I have. That's everything. This is my retirement plan. I'm going to work on all that shit in retirement. Yeah? That's what I'm going to do. And just before I die, I am going to be fucking mentally sound. That's it, isn't it? I'll have about a week of being, like, chilled out, relaxed, mentally sound, no hang-ups, and then fucking die. That's it. That week's going to be beautiful. I'll probably book it off, go somewhere, you know, go on a nice warm holiday. Be beautiful. Bit more coffee there. But yeah, it just goes to show. Yeah, I've dated people with baggage and that sort of thing. But you never, that's the thing about baggage, like especially mental baggage. You don't really find that out until you're in deep, do you? You know, it's too late then. You sort of like find out in like little bits, don't you? You find out in dribs and drabs. You're like, oh, that's a strange way to react to that sort of thing. Oh, you're nice again. Okay. Okay. That's okay. I might just be a blip. You kid yourself. Don't you? Oh, I might just be a blip. That's fine. Oh, that seems a bit of a strange way to react to that. Maybe she's not really encountered that sort of thing before and, you know, she might just be a little bit stressed. Something like that. And then when you're a year in or 6 months into a relationship, that's when it all comes out. You're like, ah, that's not a blip. And I'm not saying it don't work both ways. Dear, I'm not sure, you know. You kind of like every now and again, you just find out little shit, don't you? You go, oh, I don't like that. I do not like that. But let's go, hey, she's still sleeping with me. So, you know, there's nobody else. I'll have to just adjust my standards and what I want from a relationship. Maybe I can put up with that. Maybe I can put up with somebody screaming, somebody falling asleep on the phone to me. Ah, that's happened. Ah, Jesus. Maybe I can just deal with somebody just like randomly not getting their own way and just cutting things off. Maybe I'll just do everything you want to do. I'll do that. It's okay. I don't need to have my own thoughts. I'll do everything you want to do. And I'm going to be in a happy relationship. That's fine. dear. But yeah, I think if a guy had that sort of baggage, you know, like a national massive crime that went on and then tried to get back in the dating game, I don't think that would happen ever. I think that guy would die alone. He'd probably start a podcast. That's what he'd do. He'd start a podcast, die alone, and oh Jesus, this suddenly got bleak for me. People, suddenly got very bleak. Anyway, what are we on? 29 minutes. Holy fucking shit, we've talked some shit. Yeah, so after all of that, I had to watch something nice. I watched a bit of David Attenborough. That's Maybe that's what Israel and Palestine ought to do. Here we go. Now we've found the solution. Isn't it? That's what they ought to do. Just watch a bit of fucking David Attenborough. Sit around. Watch that. Enjoy that soothing voice. And sort your shit out. Yeah, it looks horrendous, though. It looks really bad out there. But anyway, hopefully, by this time next week, although Ukraine's been going on about 3 years, isn't it? Yeah, they're doing well. Who'd have thought that? Held out against Russia for 3 years. Good on. Anyway, that is this episode of the Ben Briggs podcast. I hope you have a lovely week, people. I shall be back next Sunday, motherfuckers. So I shall speak to you then. Have a great fucking week. Take care.